You are a busy entrepreneur architect. You're hustling to find the next project, meet with clients, keep the bills paid, and if you're lucky, maybe find some time to design. So how do you continue to learn what you need to know to grow? How do you find the information and the training you need to become more effective, more efficient, and more successful? I know you're busy, because I'm an entrepreneur architect too. That's why we built the Entre Architect membership. On the first Wednesday of every month, we invite an expert into the academy, and they teach us about one specific topic on how to succeed at business as an architect. 60 minutes each month, live training, and live Q&A. Then you can get right back to work. And when you're a member, you gain access to so much more. Unlimited access to business resources, a video library, and a private member forum with hundreds of entrepreneur architects just like you. Everything you need to build a better business is available right now at Entre Architect. Subscribe today at entrearchitect.com/join. My name is Mark R. LePage, and you are listening to Entre Architect Podcast, where I speak with inspiring, passionate people who share their knowledge and expertise, all to help you build a better business as a small firm entrepreneur architect. This is episode 286, and this week I'm speaking with architect Stella Osborne, and she's sharing her story, starting as an architect developer from scratch. This episode of Entre Architect Podcast is supported by our platform sponsors, ARCAD, the online resource delivering quality building material information, CAD details, BIM specifications, and so much more at arcat.com. FreshBooks, the cloud-based accounting software that makes running your small firm easy, fast, and secure. Spend less time on accounting and more time doing the work you love. And Gusto, easy online payroll, benefits, and HR built for the modern small business. Stella Osborne, welcome to Entre Architect Podcast.
Thanks so much for having me.
It's great having you back. You were part of a panel where we talked about parents, and we'll share that episode on the show notes. But I invited you to come back to talk about what you're doing today, because you're doing some exciting things. But before we get into that, let me just introduce people to you and you to them. Stella is an experienced licensed architect and project manager based in Atlanta, Georgia. You're still in Georgia, right?
I am, yep.
Stella has had a desire to develop for about 15 years and is now heading up a small mixed-use project in her own neighborhood of Riverside in West Atlanta. Her aim is to provide some missing middle housing as well as commercial spaces and services in the walkable village area of Riverside for both neighbors and commuters. This past June, Stella was one of three presenters at this year's Shark Tank event presented by the Urban Land Institute in Atlanta. And all four sharks were interested in her pitch, which is really excellent. You know, that's really exciting.
Very exciting.
There's lots of buzz now because of that. And she's currently in the fundraising stage with her venture partner, Paul. Is it, how do you say his last
Girardo.
Name?
Girardo. Paul Girardo.
Paul Girardo. And so she's doing it.
She's doing it.
She's doing a lot of what we're talking about, right? A lot of us are in the community are talking about architect as developer, wanting to develop. And so Stella announced in the Entre Architect community on Facebook that she was on this Shark Tank event. It wasn't the televised show. It was a Shark Tank like format where entrepreneurs that have ideas present to a panel of sharks in front of a live audience of like 200 people, right? That's what you said. And
yep.
You present your idea, yep. And then they sort of grill you and grind you. And if they're interested, they invest. And they're all interested. And you have somebody who's interested in investing. And so I wanted to get you on this show and talk about this, because I think I want to learn more about it for myself, because we're about to start some ideas of our own with development. And I know there's lots of people in the community who have this idea too. and there's these roadblocks in front of us, right? There's these things that we keep looking at and say, well, I can't do that because, or there's lots of fear involved in doing right. something you don't know, and there's some risk and there's money, and how do you do it all? And so I wanted to bring you, Stella, onto the show here and talk about that and how you're going to do it. But before we do that, I want to learn more about your origin story. So go back to where you discovered architecture. What was what inspired you to become an architect? Tell us that origin story to where we are today, and then we'll get into some of this talk about development.
Okay, sure. I'll go back to my childhood. This is important. I grew up in I was born in Athens, Greece, in Europe, and lived there till I was 8 years old. To some folks, that may not be, you know, enough of an influence, but I believe it does, because a lot of the architecture that I want to design and develop has a little bit of that European flair. Mm-hmm. I'm very much into the mixed use type projects where you're providing shops on the bottom floor and a couple of stories of residential above. I think it makes more of a lively neighborhood. So I grew up in part of my life in Europe, and then we moved to the States. We lived in New York a little bit, and then moved down to Florida for middle school and high school. In high school, I did a lot of art classes, sketching, rendering. So I thought initially that I would be a renderer. I did a lot of watercolor, freehand type stuff. At the same time, I took a mechanical drafting class, just to try new things in high school, and really got excited about that. We hand drafted different mechanical parts as well as houses and buildings, and just got excited about that and did some exploration about architecture and being an architect and what that entails, and just dove right in. Got into Georgia Tech in Atlanta, Georgia. That's what moved me to Georgia. And just signed up for the architecture program, and haven't looked back since. That was in 1996. Yeah. So I have been involved in architecture in some way, shape, or form since then.
So Athens, I'm sure, had a huge influence on you.
Yes.
Both, you know, and 8 years old is old enough to really remember it and experience it and have those memories in your
right.
brain, right?
Right, definitely. And also, I guess I forgot to say that through my teenage years, we would go back to Greece in the summertime when school let out. My parents stayed in the U.S. for several years because they had to stay here a certain number of years without leaving the country in order for us to become citizens. But my grandmother would take us back to Greece. So, yes, I still have ties to Greece. And that, you know, that urban feel, the way cities are laid out and built, is quite different than most yeah. suburban areas here. So, yeah, like I said, I loved mixed use and walkable and having people on the street at all times, and being able to walk to your coffee shop, restaurant, whatever you need.
Did you know how special Athens was when you were growing up? Because we all, as architects, we all learn about Athens, right? Greece
right,
is,
right.
is a major part of architectural history class, right?
Right.
It's a big, big piece of the foundation of everything we're doing today. You know, it starts back in Greece and Rome and all of those places. And so did you know as a child, or was it just like, this is just life,
no.
this is just where I live and this is how it works? And
when I was a child, and even when I visited in the summers, through my teen years, I didn't realize how special that part of the world is. In late high school and definitely college, when in, you know, architectural history class, you learn about Europe and all the main sites, archaeological sites, and the Parthenon and everything. Acropolis, I just didn't know when I was a kid. I just enjoyed living there.
When did that moment happen? Do you remember the moment where you're like, wait a minute, I live there, and you know, we're talking about this place as if this is like a this very, very special place.
Right.
Was there a moment in your life where you went from that's just home to wow, that's a special architectural location on this planet?
It wasn't really like a switch, but yeah. it was like Like I said, it started in high school, and then when I was in college and shared my story with folks, just seeing everybody's reaction, like, oh my goodness, you're from Greece. I can't believe it. You know, I guess it was a gradual process, but it really hit home when I was in college.
Yeah. Yeah. And so the work that you're doing now was heavily influenced by that. The mixed use work that you want to develop.
Yes.
You're looking back at those buildings and those environments and the urban fabric of Athens and European cities and how they work, and they work so beautifully. And even small towns here in the U.S. are very much built on that same tradition where you have storefronts, and above the storefronts you have residential.
Right.
And it makes for a beautiful walking community, and people go to visit those little, villages because they're places to go for the weekend, and like you want to go and experience that. And so, I also believe, and we can talk about this a little bit, is that with the way we're all working or starting to work, because we have this internet tool at our hands where we can have these video conferences and we can work remotely and we can basically work for or with anybody in the world now that we have these tools. I think many of us are going back to these virtual studios, working from our own home studios, which potentially, could be also, our homes and our businesses. It's like the new modern version of living above the store.
Exactly.
and to create these developments, I think we'll do it even more, where we can work from home and have the storefronts below us and be able to reach the world through the internet. I think that type of development, and it already is, you can see it's happening, is becoming more and more popular and more desired.
Definitely. It definitely is.
Where did this idea of development come from? So you graduate architecture school, you work for some architects, you become an architect. Where in this timeline did you say, okay, I want to do this. I want to build myself. Where did that happen, and what was it like the first ideas?
So when I was in graduate school, also at Georgia Tech, we were, in grad school, you're able to do more of kind of your vision. You put out your projects, your thesis. It's all kind of what's in your head. You're not modeling other buildings or other architects. You may use them as reference, but you have more freedom to kind of create your own architecture. So that, I think graduate school was where my Greek entrepreneurial background and the architecture education kind of came together, and something inside me thought, I love working for other firms. I did it for a long time. I learned a lot. I think you have to. You can't just go from school to having your own practice. There's a lot of information out there to learn from folks that have been at it for decades longer than you have. But I think that was the time when I thought, I've got to do something else. I've got to develop. I've got to create my own projects. And I lived in LA for a couple years from 2007 to 2009. I wish I had taken the opportunity to take one of Jonathan Siegel's courses, because he used to do them live back then.
Yeah.
But I didn't at the time. I was in my late 20s and I just didn't think I could afford it. Anyway, so yeah, I think it was grad school where kind of just a light bulb went off and said, I've got to pursue this other route. But it's taken me, another 15 years to get there.
Yeah. What were
And that's okay.
What were the roadblocks that made it a 15 year long journey?
Well, I think, so let me back up. Mm-hmm. Back then I thought it should be happening faster, but now when I look back, I think, everything happens as it should, as cheesy as that sounds.
That is my philosophy. So there's no cheese involved in it. Yeah,
I am where I am at the time that I need to be. So that's totally fine.
100% agree.
So in my 20s and 30s, I guess, part of it was, like I said, money. His live course back then in San Diego was $1,500 for a weekend course. And, that was a month's rent. in LA back then. So I thought, oh, I can't do that. Then I got laid off, moved back to the East Coast. Oh, you know, got to save all my pennies and get a new job. Can't do it then. Then I start a new job. I start traveling to do construction oversight from Atlanta to New Orleans for almost 2 years. Oh, don't have time to do that. Then I meet someone, someone that I married. We're not together anymore, but I was married for a few years. So then I met someone, got married. Oh, can't do that. Can't do it then. Then we bought a house. So the money was all going to the house. Oh, can't do it then. Then, yeah, I start having kids. I have two little kids. Now they're 4 and 6. So it's just been one thing after another. But about a year ago, maybe a little over a year ago, I just decided I had to do it. If I don't do it now, I've just got to dive in. And I still have had naysayers over the last year and a half, you know, trying to talk me down or telling me that I'm crazy or that, you know, how do I have, you know, this drive and desire to go out on my own? What happens if the industry goes downhill, whatnot? And I've just kind of put that to the side because they're not doing the work. I'm doing the work. I'm taking the risk. And I believe that you have to take risks to get what you want. And if you don't take the risk, then there's no way you're going to get what you want. So I've got to at least try it. It's like I'm young enough to where if something were to happen, knock on wood, I can still save myself. I still have time to go back to another firm or whatnot. But I'm experienced enough where I can handle projects on my own and be confident enough to talk to all the players, to talk to the investors, to the realtors, to the banks, to try to do, you know, to make this vision come true.
Yeah.
Did I answer your question?
Yeah, absolutely. And I want to talk about the mindset of it. The roadblocks that were in your way that, you know, I can't do it now. I can't do it now. I can't do it now. And going through that is frustrating, right? You think those are actually barriers where, looking back to those barriers, every time that happened, you're learning something and you're being delayed and things are happening while you're being delayed and you're gaining more information, you're gaining more knowledge and you're gaining more stability. And so the idea that you said about things happen when they're supposed to happen. What would you say to yourself 10, 15 years ago, if you can talk to that Stella 15 years ago, would you say, you know, be patient, it's going to happen? Or what would you say to that?
I would say be patient, learn as much as you can from where you are and whoever, you know, you're surrounded by, your colleagues and your bosses, but be patient.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's difficult to as you're living through it, it's difficult to experience it.
Yes.
Because I feel the same way. 100% my whole life, you know, is basically happening the way it should happen. Even Entree Architect and the development of Entree Architect and how it's grown and what it's become and what it will become. I just sort of stay consistent and continue forward and keep moving forward and just have faith that it will eventually become what it should be. And and it sounds like you're doing the same thing, and you're now at that moment where it's supposed to happen, and you're so you're proceeding with that. And I'm sure there's fear and there's risk. You said there's risk and there's people who are telling you that maybe you shouldn't do this. And those are probably people who love you and care about you and want to make sure that you're not hurting yourself by pursuing this risky plan. You know, and that's what they should be doing, right? And so you need to balance those thoughts and that advice. And now you have this knowledge and this experience, and move forward and take that risk, because it won't happen if you move, if you don't go forward, right? It'll
There's zero chance if you don't take the chance.
Right. And it may not work, right?
It may not work, but I'll still learn and I'll make the next one better.
We'll be right back to our conversation after this quick break to say thank you to our platform sponsors here at Entree Architect, RCAT, FreshBooks, and Gusto. If you work with specifications in your firm, you probably have come across outdated manufacturer specifications with confusing notes, products that no longer exist, or maybe even companies that no longer exist. Maybe you even pay for those specifications. Stop. Stop the madness. There's a better way to find manufacturer specifications for your project documentation. It's our friends at RCAT. RCAT.com. RCAT is the number one most used website for finding building product information, and it has a free library of over 1,400 up-to-date accurate specifications. RCAT's specs are written by professionals based on manufacturer data. Use RCAT's powerful search engine to find the right specifications for your project and quickly download them into multiple formats for free. Google can't do that. You don't even have to register at RCAT. Just go over to RCAT.com, that's ARCAT.com, and start building better content today. Do you remember when you started your firm? It was no small feat. It wasn't easy. It took a lot of late nights, early mornings, and maybe even the occasional all-nighter. Bottom line, you've been insanely busy ever since. So why not make things a little bit easier? Well, our friends at FreshBooks have the solution. FreshBooks invoicing and accounting software is designed specifically for small business owners like us. It's simple, it's intuitive, and it keeps you way more organized than the dusty shoebox filled with crumpled receipts. Create and send professional-looking invoices in 30 seconds, and then get them paid 2 times faster with automated online payments. That's my favorite part of FreshBooks. File expenses even quicker, and keep them perfectly organized for tax time. The best part? FreshBooks grows alongside your business, so you'll always have the tools that you need when you need them, without ever having to learn the ins and outs of accounting. Join the 24 million people who've used FreshBooks. Try it for free for 30 days. It's free. No catch, no credit card. It's free for 30 days. Go check it out at entrearchitect.com/FreshBooks. That's entrearchitect.com/FreshBooks. And when you're there, let them know that we sent you. Entree Architect, pop that into the How Did You Hear About Us section and let them know that Entree Architect sent you. Payroll and benefits are hard, especially when you're a small business. You don't have time to be an expert in things like taxes and regulations. And old school payroll providers, they just aren't built for the way that we work as small firm architects. Gusto is making payroll, benefits, and HR easy for small businesses. Modern technology does the heavy lifting, so it's easy for us to get it right. You no longer have to be a big company to get great technology, great benefits, and a great service for your team. And to help support the Entree Architect podcast, Gusto is offering our listeners an exclusive, limited-time deal. Sign up today and you'll get 3 months free once you run your first payroll. Just go to entrearchitect.com/gusto and claim your free 3 months of payroll processing for free 3 months at entrearchitect.com/gusto. RCAT, FreshBooks, and Gusto. Please visit our platform sponsors today and thank them. Thank them for supporting you, the Entree Architect community. How far did it get before you presented to the Shark Tank? Was it going to happen whether Shark Tank happened or not?
I think the submission, so the ULI puts out this competition, and that was, I think, the instigator of the moment when I thought, this is, you know, I've had my eye in this neighborhood and this part and this type of development for a few years now, but the opportunity came for me to submit on this competition, and that was, I guess, what started it all. I just said, you know what, I'm going to do it. I sat down on a Sunday night, 4 days before it was due, you know, came up with some quick massing studies, inspiration images, site plan, put it together, collaborated with, like I said, my venture partner, Paul Girardo, that first part of the week. And we put it together. We did rendering. So we probably put, you know, 45, 50 hours worth of work over a 3-day span and submitted. And 3 weeks later, found out that we were selected to present. And then there was some fear there in that moment. There was excitement, a lot of excitement, but I got to be honest, there was that moment of, oh crap, I've got to present now in front of all these people and I got to make sure I understand all the lingo, right? So the next month between when we found out we got chosen to the presentation was a lot of coaching from previous presenters, running the pro forma, making sure we can speak all, like I said, the lingo and the numbers, the IRR and this return and how long is this going to take and all that stuff. There's a lot of numbers and percentages that we don't learn in architecture school, right. And I'm still learning. So yeah, it was a quick 4 weeks. And by the time I got up there on June 19th, I think it went really well. I felt more confident. And that in and of itself was a learning experience because now I know that I can do it. I can present in front of 200 people and it's fine. You know, and a lot of folks came up to me afterwards and congratulated us and said it's an exciting project and let's connect. So now it's, you know, getting investors out there walking the site, looking at what else is happening in the area and getting them also excited about this part of Atlanta, West Atlanta.
Yeah. How important do you think the accountability of the Shark Tank was to having you move forward?
I think it was a really, really good stepping stone. I think I would have done it regardless, meaning even if I hadn't been selected, but just submitting and just putting something pen on paper, right? Or in the computer. We do it now, Revit. I think that was definitely a huge, huge jump to be able to present. But just submitting, just getting our act together and just putting a packet, putting a model, putting renderings, putting a description to it, I think that was huge.
Yeah. The deadline of this is
the
going.
The deadline of submitting, yep.
Yeah, that this has to happen, I'm committing to this deadline.
Exactly.
And so now I have to do all of this work that needs to get done. I have to get it done by that deadline.
Yep.
And because there are people who are expecting something from me. And if I don't get it done, I'm going to be embarrassed. I'm going to fail. I'm going to, I'm going to let people down. It has to.
Well, I wouldn't go that far because, I mean, they didn't know that I was presenting, right? That was an internal kind of, this is the time. I've got to create something.
Yeah.
So.
But then after you were
after
selected, then there was a second deadline, right?
There was a second deadline. That was the one where I felt, oh, shoot, I've got to do this right. I've got to be able to present. I've got to get my story straight, like the way I want to present it, the way I want to get folks engaged and excited about it. That was the moment when I thought, if I don't get up there and say it the right way to get folks excited, that would be failure.
Yeah. Right. Because the first deadline, you were working on things that you were very good at, right? You were developing your project. It was all about architecture and development, that stuff that you knew. And then once you were picked, now you had to not only continue to develop the idea so it was better, but now you had to learn all of these other things that you didn't know how to do in a very short amount of time. And so you compressed all of this knowledge and experience into a very short amount of time and then hit a deadline, presented it.
Yes.
And the rest of it, now you have all of that information and all of those connections and all that networking that comes along with this big decision to proceed. Gets you so far, so much further along, and it gets you started, right? Because now you really have to proceed, because now there's people who've said we're interested. You have partners who said we're doing this. You've committed to doing it. So that deadline and those and that commitment and the accountability that comes along with that commitment is so important to help us get through the fear.
Exactly.
Right? Because the fear is the thing that's stopping us. There's always an excuse that we can rely on to say, oh, it's not a right time now. I don't have enough money. I just bought a house. All these things, it really comes down to fear, because even every one of those steps, you could have gone forward. Right.
Right.
And there was just the fear that there were other things in your life that it wasn't the right time.
Right.
And so by getting to the point where you're comfortable, you want to proceed, now how do I get over the fear of proceeding? Mm-hmm. Right. And so by having something like Shark Tank, or in my case, starting Entre Architect 12, 13 years ago, or 2012, mm-hmm. whenever that was, I did a 12, 12, 12 project. I committed on December 12, 2012, that I was going mm-hmm. to launch Entre Architect. And then I announced it to everybody on my blog. And I had, you know,
and then you had to do it.
A few hundred people who read that blog at that time who said, that's what we want. We want that to happen. So we're looking forward to 12, 12, 12 to happen because we want to know what your plans are. So now I have to do it. I have to launch it. And I have to do the pod. That's where the podcast started. And I was afraid. Even if you go back to episode zero and listen to that episode, mm-hmm. it was all about overcoming mm-hmm. fear. And I'm seeing the parallel between me starting what I'm starting and you starting what you're starting. And I want to encourage other people and inspire other people who have these big ideas to proceed, to figure out what can I do to set an accountability, to set a deadline that would get me over get me through that fear.
Right. Yeah, I think therapy helps too. Hey, can I tell you how much I appreciate the Entre Architect group?
Yeah.
By the way, I've joined. It's been a couple of years, but in the last year, so I mentioned that about a year ago, I decided to take the plunge and start my own company. I'm a sole proprietor, which gives me the flexibility to do the architect as developer thing, right?
Yeah.
And this spring in April, I had the opportunity to submit on this competition, which we just talked about. But that year, I have spent a lot of time on the Entre Architect group, which led me to another, you know, small developer group, which it's just kind of one thing leads to another. So like this book, that's what got me started, actually. So your group pointed me to the James Petty Architect and Developer book. And from there, I was able to find a ton of other resources and go to conferences and go to seminars and learn as much as I can about architect as a developer. So I don't want people to think that it was like, oh, a few weeks and I just put it together. You know, it's been a lot of work kind of in the background. And now was the time that I could, you know, put it out there.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we're living in an amazing time in history of the world where we have the access to these tools that allow us to connect mm-hmm. to everybody on the planet.
Right.
And when we have a community like the Entre Architect community that's open to, it's a private group. If anybody doesn't know, it's a private group that's exclusive to architects or architecture students. You just ask to join, show that you're an architect and you can come in. And it's a place where you can openly have discussions about anything that you're going through. And so it's an Entre Architect group, the small developer group. All these groups are facilitated by the technology that we have to be able to connect. Even this interview now is through Skype. It's all because of this technology. I know it's become part of our lives. It's ubiquitous and it's everywhere and it's everything we do and it's just the way we do it. But I lived in a time where it didn't exist, and it's really a fascinating thing that we can do things like this, where a community like that, which I just started it, the people inside it is what makes it so special. It's the people that share with one another openly and help one another, and the culture that's in that group is really what makes that group so special. And people like you who are active all the time and help other people and post your questions in order to inspire other people to not only come back with questions, but to other people who are in the same position who will read your question and those answers and say, oh, I can do that too. And know that there's a group of people there who will support you in anything you need going forward.
Exactly.
It's a very special time that we're living in. And thank you for reminding us about that.
Thank you for starting the group.
You're welcome. It's
an amazing place.
Yeah, thank you. If anybody wants to join it, it's entrearchitect.com/group. We'll send you a direct link right there, and you can ask to join. So what's the next step? So now you have these sharks who are interested, and you have your partner, and where are you now, and what's the next step in the development?
Yeah, that's a lot of balls up in the air at the same time. So like I said, I've got to talk with and interview and walk the site with realtors and potential investors, get commitment letters at the same time. I've got our lawyers working on agreements for the LLC as to how, you know, what everybody's role is and, you know, how everybody gets paid out.
How many investors do you think you'll have?
It's a tricky question because initially we were hoping to get all the money for the project, for the land, soft costs, and the construction from investors, mm-hmm. which is pretty bold. That's what I presented at the Shark Tech event, but I'm open to getting it financed as well. So it just depends. We'll probably need 10 to 20, at least, depending on, you know, if we get a loan from a bank or not.
Right.
The other tricky part is we're still, so it's three lots that we'd have to assemble. And we're under contract on one of them, but we're still negotiating on the other two. I'm getting surveys done next week. So that's a risk that I'm taking without being under contract under all of them. So it's a lot of delicate kind of pieces, you know, getting the commitment letters, getting the bank to look at it, getting the land under contract. So yeah, it's an exciting time. But
are you doing all that work yourself, or do you have a team that you're working with?
Just Paul and I.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So that's a big undertaking. Is it taking up all of your time, or are you doing architecture as well?
Some weeks more than others. But yeah, I mean, I still have to have paid work.
Yeah.
So I just have to find the time. Basically, every day I try to do at least 6 to 8 hours of paid work and then a couple hours of the development project.
How long?
And if it has to run to the weekend, I do that too.
How long do you think it will take to assemble the site to get those other properties?
Probably another couple of months, honestly.
So do you think that do you have a schedule on when you hope to start construction? Like start developing the site?
Yes. So we had to come up with a project schedule for the Shark Tank presentation. So we've got it at two years. So 2 years total, meaning the rest of this year, 2019, we're assembling the land, getting commitment letters, getting initial funding started to buy the land, talking with the city, zoning, assembling it. Like I said, the three properties, getting all the agreements put together and potentially submitting for site work permit first. Early 2020, submitting for our building permit. So we're thinking spring of 2020 to start construction. That gives us a year to construct and another 4 months to advertise and fill up the building. Now, we'll be advertising the whole time, you know, as soon as we get the land under contract, we'll have renderings up and we'll be procuring tenants. But so the whole time is 2 years. To answer your question, starting construction, anticipated spring of 2020.
And have you assembled a team of real estate, you know, people and attorneys? And do you have all of that, those people figured out and who they are?
Yes. Yes, we have a realtor representing us, and then we also have the attorneys that will be doing the closings, and they do our agreement letters.
Have you listened to the Inside the Firm podcast with Lance and Alex?
I've been meaning to.
You should. That's why I bring it up. You absolutely should because they are doing what you're about to do, and they're sharing all of it on their podcast.
Okay.
So it's InsideTheFirmPodcast.com is a link directly to their show. Okay. They're good friends of mine. A very good podcast. And after the show, if you'd like me to, I'll send an email to connect you directly with them because they are learning the lessons that you're going to have to learn too, and they'll be able to help you. And they're very open to helping. So
most definitely. I would love that. We'll make that happen
for sure.
Thank you.
So super exciting, scary, right? but you know, is there anything that you're doing on a regular basis to sort of continue to push through that fear, or is the momentum sort of just carrying you through it?
It's a little bit of the momentum, but also I meditate. I started meditating a little over 2 years ago, and I try to keep that up. I can't do it every day. I'd like to, but just taking a step back. Basically, to me, what meditation is taking a step back. Whenever you get stressed out or overwhelmed, or you think you can't, you know, solve a problem, you got to take a step back. You got to pause, take a break. And not to say that after the 20-minute meditation that I have the answer, but it just helps me relax. And I know now, after all these years, that I will come up with an answer. It may not be today or tomorrow morning, but I will come up with an answer, and it's not the end of the world.
Yeah. And that comes with experience, right? That comes through all those years of pushing and waiting and not now, and not the time's not now. That wisdom that you have now, knowing that it's all going to work out. I just have to be patient and figure out how to make it work. And sometimes you need to stop and just back up and take a break and shut everything else out and just focus inward and allow it to happen, right? Allow your stress levels to come down, allow the ideas to come up. Meditation is so powerful when you do it on a regular basis.
It is.
And it's really just, I mean, some people hear meditation, they're like, oh my goodness, it's so difficult. Or what is that? That's sort of woo-woo. It's really just stopping, right? It's just stopping and being quiet. You know?
For the most part, yeah. I mean, I've got guided meditations and things that I've been doing. But yeah, a lot of times it's just taking a break.
Yeah.
Don't look at your phone. Just, you know, go for a hike, or just look at the window, or just sit there. Just breathe.
Yeah. Are you using any apps to do the meditation?
I'm not, because I have guided meditations that I've used. Mm-hmm. But I could share with you resources.
Yeah, I would love to. I'd love to put some resources in the show notes for anybody who's interested. You know, I know the Headspace app I've used is good. The Calm app is also good. CALM, Calm. I've also listened to a few meditation podcasts that are interesting, that they've done podcast episodes that are just meditation, guided meditation series that are good. And that sort of helps you get the idea of how it works. And then you can do your own thing. You know, you can either do it on your own, or you can do some other guided meditation. But it's very helpful.
Definitely.
Especially when you're stressed and you're doing these big scary projects. I'm doing this project on my own home here in North Carolina now that we've moved, and there's a lot of stress, you know. You know, there's a lot of stress from the New York to North Carolina transition, you know, just the new world, everything is new. But also the construction and trying to run multiple businesses and manage construction. It's overwhelming, and sometimes you just need to stop and take a breath.
I bet.
Yeah. Thanks for the reminder for that, because I got that'll help. I haven't done that in a while, and that definitely will help.
Yeah.
All right. So, Stella, this has been a really great conversation. Is there anything else that you want to share with the community before we wrap things up here with our final question?
Not off the top of my head.
All right. Let's get right into the final question then. So we can focus this on development and maybe focus it on fear, maybe focus it on just moving forward. But what's one thing that a small firm architect can do today to build a better business for tomorrow?
Oh boy. You said focus it on development.
It could be anything. I mean, if somebody came to you who has this idea, maybe you 5-10 years ago, somebody comes to you in that same position and says, I want to do what you're doing. How did you get there? What's the first step I need to take?
Okay. I guess I'll answer that. And I think there's two steps. One, I would say, if I knew about the James Petty Architect and Developer book, I would say you got to go there.
Okay.
Hands down, start there. It's the first book you got
to
read.
We will put a link on the show notes for that book, so everybody can go to the show notes and grab that book.
Definitely. So I would say you got to read that book. It won't take long. It's an easy read, and if you're as passionate as I am about being an architect developer, it's just like awesome. And then I would say take some online courses if you can on investing, on real estate development, just to kind of understand the math, the lingo, what investors and banks will be looking at. So if you could do one class, you know, a semester, do it in the evening, one or, you know, a couple hours a week, I would start there. I think that it'll come in handy when you're ready to take the plunge.
Yep. So build your foundation. Mm-hmm. Learn what you need to know at a very basic level. And that'll give you confidence to get to the next step, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Very good advice. So Stella, you can be reached at, if anybody has any questions for Stella directly, you can reach her at her email address, stellaarchitect@gmail.com. So it's Stella Architect with one A, StellaArchitect, @gmail.com. And we'll put that on the show notes as well. Stella, this has been a great conversation. This has reminded me about a bunch of things I need to do right now while I'm doing this project. But it also has given me some fuel and some information for what I need to do as I move forward with our development project that still is just an idea. I mean, we have a property that we want to develop, but right now it's just me saying we're going to do this. Mm-hmm. And so I need to go buy that book and I need to go take some courses and I'll keep you posted. But I wanted to thank you for coming here and sharing your knowledge. Sharing some inspiration and some motivation for the rest of us. Thanks for being here at Entree Architect Podcast.
Sounds great. Thank you so much. It was fun.
So this is episode 286. The link to share, my friends, is entrearchitect.com/episode286. Please do that. Share a link to entrearchitect.com/episode286 to one friend. Do that right now. Send it by Facebook, by Twitter, Instagram. Send it by email. Tap a friend on the shoulder. Say, hey, entrearchitect.com/episode286 with Stella Osborne sharing her story, starting as an architect, as developer from scratch. Stella has shared so much information here. We can all do this, right? We can do this. If you wanted to do this architect as developer thing, you can do it. You just have to start. That's the lesson here, is you just have to start. EntreeArchitect.com/episode286. Share it with a friend. And go join Entree Architect. Come join us. Come hang out with us. Come learn every month. An expert trainer comes into the academy for 60 minutes, shares some valuable information on marketing or sales, or financial management, everything we need to know to run great, small, successful small businesses as architects every month, 60 minutes, in and out, get back to work, and you get access to everything else. You get access to all our courses and our business resources and a great video library and the Slack group. It's all in there. It's all in there. Go check it out at entrearchitect.com/join. Simple to remember, entrearchitect.com/join. Go check that out. And if you are an entrepreneur architect who runs or owns your own small firm, does that sound like you? Well, then you are an Entree Architect. And I encourage you to build a better business. Go do that. Build a better business so you can be a better architect. Love, learn, share. My three rules. Love, learn, share. Just do that and everything else will work out. Love, learn, share. Thanks for listening. Have a great week.